I am very excited to present our next talk for this evening. A very interesting talk, as you can tell. This project was conceived in our local Tel Aviv hacker slash makerspace, together with the Shinkal College in Tel Aviv. So I will pass on the microphone now to Denise Akera.
Yeah, hi.
And Yair Reshef and Zalma Sekafera, please give them a big round of applause for this talk.
Hi, everyone. My name is Denisa, and I'll try to introduce what's going to happen here. We'll have something of a cooking show or a live demo, and we will switch between the presentation explaining what electrolickables, we changed the name as you noticed, are, and between what the guys will do here. Basically, they'll try to make this candy slice, and I'm very curious how it will go. So, what is the open source hardware for smart candies and how we connected all these funny uses of candies, which is about canned Bitcoin, and you will see Internet of Candies. So the way we will continue, I'll introduce first something about us, why we are doing this, then I'll explain what will happen during the live demo, and then I'll explain why we are doing it. So in the first part, what's going to happen here, Zohar is creating a mold for the candy. That means it's preparing the shape of the candy. So during the workshops, we usually let people make their own molds and decide on the shape of their candies. But here we will use a few of our latest experiment, which is the Bitcoin mold, basically, and Immanuel Kant's hat. And we'll explain why. Do you want to say something about the mold?
Yeah, we are using like acetic silicone, which is like acetic acid and not acetone, like usually people have this mistake. And it's like actually food grade. You can cook food in it. So we mix the acetic silicone with corn flour, corn starch, you know, as you know it at your country. So for first, I've put like the corn starch on this bowl. I can see the cameras over here, you know. Okay, anyway, I'm putting some cold starch inside the bowl, and then I take out the silicone just on it.
Ew.
It's a... Yeah, we got like 10 minutes of like work time actually, so I'll put like some gloves. Where are the gloves?
I think there was some interesting thing about this silicon. You said that people should use not the common one, but some cheaper one.
Yeah, this is the cheapest one. When you go to a bar or any store, you just tell them, I want the one that smells like vinegar.
Yeah, it's like 100% silicone and acetic acid. Oh shit, okay.
Okay, while he's preparing the mold, I'll tell you something about us and why we're obsessing over it. So first I'll introduce Yair. He's actually the real, and I call him like a candy fanatic. And what you're seeing in the background is his collection of Japanese candies. He has this guy from Japan who sends him a curated... like curated candies every month, and then he shows these are like the leftovers from the candies, basically. And this is an example of such like Japanese candy that probably inspired the year in this effort. Then there is Zohar, who is just making the mold now, and Zohar is really interested, and he works a lot with flexible circuits, so you'll see some interesting things about the circuits inside these candies that are based on these experiments with different like flexible materials. And what I can say about Zohar, he's a real connoisseur and a very good cook, so it's interesting that he's making the candies.
Yeah. Actually, this silicone has got this like steam of acid, like acidic, like acetic acid, so you get some. It's kind of smelly, you know, but it's going away after a few days. So I'm kind of choking in here. But it's okay, I'm used to it.
Okay. So something about me, I'm the real sugarophobe in this group. I hate sugar. I believe in all the conspiracies around sugar, that it causes cancer, that it's horrible, and I'm a bit terrified of this. And a place where you would normally find me would be the place with jars. So if I can ask to switch to the presentation for a moment, because this is fascinating. Yes, that's me. And my favorite activity, which is wild fermentation. So I'm interested in, I do these hunts for wild lactic bacteria. Lately, it was in carob trees this summer. So I experiment with healthy stuff normally. I'll explain how I got in contact with them. So this is the kitchen and the hardware studio where all this miracle of smart candy happens. These are the ingredients. These are some of the components. And this is how it usually looks like. It's very messy, as you can see. This is just one of the workshops in our place. This was this summer in Slovenia at the PIF camp. This is the usual atmosphere, people soldering, making the candy.
Yeah, something flat.
And then maybe this is the interesting thing. Zohar actually made a fanzine related to smart candies where you can read how to make them and absorb the whole culture around it. Do you want to say something about the fanzine?
Actually, it's instructions for the kids of the workshop, you know, so it's like we're step by step, like instruction, and a little bit more, you can say.
Yeah, what's interesting about these fanzines, the Zohar does, all the culture of fanzines is a bit low-tech, and one of his ideas is not to tell everything. The fanzines have a special bond with the player that uses them.
Okay, so I'm
and
doing the mods now.
It stops you, it even obstructs you from doing the things, so you get it to work. And we have a good ratio. Yesterday we had an amazing workshop.
Maybe we need the camera now. Something interesting is happening on the table.
Yeah, I'm actually making the model. I'm actually making the shape of this mold. So we printed like Bitcoin and like Immanuel Kant's like head. So now I'm just tucking it inside the silicone, you know, and like push it like good around it.
So the Bitcoin is made with OpenSCAD, I think?
No, actually Fusion.
Okay.
Fusion.
And then printed, and basically you can take any object and do what
you want.
Okay, I'll switch back to the presentation and explain a bit the process. So what will happen after the molds? So after you make a mold, and actually this is the second part because the more important part is the soldering part, and I think you will show more about the process and the components that you use in the different circuits and explain there are 3 or 4 interesting circuits here.
Actually, yeah? part of the circuit is involved with the soldering, but the other part, it's like kind of conductive stickers and all of like flexible conductive materials. So it's not all about soldering. So
okay, experiments with flexible circuits and materials, flexible conductive materials, and this is like some images of that process. Then comes the critical moment where we are still struggling, which is the cooking of the corn syrup. It's kind of very violent chemical reaction, I have to say, watching it. And then comes the most interesting part, is where you cast the circuits into the candy, and then you have the candy, the smart candy. And what you do after, you test the circuits and you taste it. So what is happening now?
I'm just cleaning a little bit, so
yeah.
And I'm moving to the electronics now. So,
So in the next stage, what will happen on the live demo is they'll start cooking the corn syrup. Yair will cook the corn syrup and prepare the material for casting the circuits, while Zohar will prepare some of the circuits. Am I right?
Yeah, yes. Basically. I'm starting to work on the sugar syrup. It's basically, that's the instructions. In grams, 270 grams of sugar, 130 grams of syrup, and 90 grams, milligrams of water. The syrup is used to stop the sugar from crystallizing. It's an inhibitor. Okay, so this is going to stay here, and we have the sugar. Now I'm going to take my pot, and I'm going to pour 90, wait with this. I'm going to pour 90 milliliters.
I'm going to prepare myself for the soldering stuff.
Today we didn't have a good sugar day. You have sugar days, and yesterday was a great sugar day. Today we completely messed up. So wish me luck.
Something got
Where is the Chinese? Okay, so the best thing to use for sugar steering is this guy. And now I need to start adding the sugar. Now I'm waiting for the solution to get a bit hot. We're using an inductive plate, very good source of heat. Okay, so if I would just leave this thing, it will just become caramel, and when I add the glucose, the corn syrup, it will stop this process. Denisa, back to you.
Okay, do you want to say something now about the circuits or in a minute?
Sorry, this is the fun time.
Okay, so the whole thing from what I see about the cooking the corn syrup is to avoid caramelization. So you really have to be careful with the temperature and follow it exactly. I prepared something on why we are doing it, or I try to observe why they're doing, and I'll explain my interest in these cookies. First of all, the smart candies or these electro-edible, electro-leakable, I don't think they're another gustatory technology and interface. So we are not really interested, or I think Zohar a bit is, but I'm not, into this multimodal, synesthetic experience of using your tongue in a new way, and I don't know, tricking your tongue to experience taste, which is not there. So I don't think this is another digital lollipop that tries to trick you, to heal you from your addictions, or I don't know, give you like a cheap food that you can eat with Soylent and so on. So what I think it is, it is a continuation of an experiment that we were told that happened here last year. So we really like these edible soft robotics experiments that Carrie loved it. So it's a bit in that way. And this is something I need some help from your side. I think it's basically a hardware fetishist lollipops. It's something about we love circuits and we want to lick them. And it's okay, and it's part of a project that Zohar and Yair are doing for a long time, and it's called Idiots. Yeah, can you idiots tell us something IO. About the Idiots?
The IoT? Or the lab itself?
Idiots, whatever it is.
Actually, it started like 4 years ago with like this IoT for idiots.
Box, you see the violence.
It was like this workshop about like startup, you know, IoT startup and stuff. And we had to make like a platform for people that doesn't know anything. So we made this box that you can connect one sensor and control control it by a smart phone application and control like by natural language, like control if I get like I pass the threshold, so light me up the output of the box. So we had like AC and DC outputs. and you can connect one sensor as you like. It's all very old news, so it's not okay. relevant anymore.
Okay, so we are over the idiots and now into this sugar addiction. So I'll show another slide for a moment if I can get back the presentation.
Yeah, I'm starting Thanks. With the PCB of the candy.
Okay, you want to show something from you now? Or can I continue, Zohar? Okay.
If you like to
I have something. Yeah, yeah. Finally, why I'm hanging out as a sugarophobe with these candy addicts here. Basically, for me, these lollipops are something of a philosophical prop. I'm looking into how philosophy can use prototypes, and I'm thinking, can leaking basically teach you philosophy? And my idea is that it can, basically. That maybe by leaking, we can leak a concept. So I picked up Kant because he is part of this long tradition between empiricism and rationalism and these discussions in European philosophy about enjoyment and cognition. So this relation between rationality and senses. So I think the lollipop, by licking it and seeing the circuit inside and seeing how it works and seeing like the connection between electricity and your senses, you can achieve something that Kant was trying to say with this principle that basically reason without senses is empty, but senses without reason are blind, basically. So I actually, that figure of Kant in this project is something I asked them to do for me. And I believe with this lollipop in the form of Kant's head, we can change the bad reputation of tasting and licking. In philosophy, they're considered appetitive, low senses. They're beastly, inferior, in need of control. And they're basically enemy of philosophy. So I think these lollipops can reveal the conditions of possibility of our senses. It's something that doesn't satisfy your hunger. It keeps you uncertain if it nourishes you or poisons you. It strips you into this like circuit, basically, and reveals the possibility of all your experiences, which is your physiology, but also this electricity that goes behind it. So we have something happening on the table. I'll ask the camera to show something.
Okay, so you can start seeing that the bubbles are getting slower. That means the water is evaporating very fast now. The glucose is just trying to catch up with the sugar. And at 146 degrees, we have to shut this thing down for 2 minutes and let it cool. And then we'll add the water, the taste if we want to.
So ideally, you have to have the circuits prepared so you can just pour this disgusting mass of sugar over it. But here we will cheat it a bit while Zohar is soldering and making such circuit. Can we move here or you want?
Yeah. Show it.
So here, what type of circuit are you preparing here?
I am making the basically the. The circuits, it's based on a leakometer circuit. It's been used like in rats labs. And
it's a behavioral research. Yeah. It's so one of these basic.
It's a very simple, like a resistive touch circuit that consists like from your finger or your tongue and your hand, you know, your body, and one MOSFET transistor. And a LED for output or some other stuff and battery. So it's completely like a
we've been using this
circuit.
We've been using this circuit for the last 4 years in most of our work. We can really milk this guy out. It's usually used in psychological like behaviorist experiments with the mice if like they go in the end of the that's our basically our way to communicate with animals in psychological
like,
experiments.
Like one neuron.
Okay, I think we're getting ready for caramelize and stuff will get really messy. 146, 142.
Actually, we have here like prepared ones. So we'll take out.
Okay, now the...
Now you can see I it's taking like 10 minutes to get dry, like for the molds, as you see now. You can easily take it out. And it's pretty fine mold, you know, very cheap DIY mold, which is actually not FDA food grade, but you know, you can...
Fuck FDA.
look, we have... we don't care about it, you know, it's not going to be like a shelf product soon or in the medical industry or something like that. Actually, I made it a bit thin, so I have like a hole in the nose, but I guess it will be fine.
You messed up my philosopher.
Yeah, I punched his nose.
So now the bubbles are getting out of the ooze. We're not putting the flavors before this thing cools down to 120. Then you can start mixing him. Actually, we don't usually mix colors. It's just nice and has a golden thing going on just as well, but it doesn't taste as well.
Yeah, I just want to solder some
okay,
electrode.
Okay, so now I'm just pouring some drops. This guy is watermelon, our favorite.
And but wait a second before you put it in the mold.
Now, because of the temperature difference, it gathers a bit more air inside.
I guess you also have to wait till the bubbles settle a bit, yeah? You don't want too many bubbles in the candy. Is it? Or how do you deal with the bubbles?
So, the bubbles will just go away very quickly. This is not something you need with vacuum to get them out. They just like do their thing. But it's really, it's every sugar day is a different day. Some days it just... Everything goes wrong. It depends on the humidity, and you even have to calibrate your temperature probe. Like, depends on where you are. When we were in PIF, it's quite high, so it takes the water a different temperature to boil.
Okay, I'll switch back to my stuff because it seems like you're still doing something there.
Yeah, I'm kind of.
It's unlocked here. So yeah, if you want. Ja, es ist ja auch kalt hier. Ja.
So the people coming in for this talk, if you can take your seats quietly, there's plenty of space all over. And we'll be starting shortly. Two announcements before we start this talk. This talk is going to be translated to German, like the previous talk. If you were listening in, you can access the translation same way that you accessed it earlier. The URLs are now appearing on the screen. And you can also submit your feedback to this talk and all the other talks afterwards. If you have any feedback on the talk, you can log on to the talk page on the wiki. There's a link there. You can submit any feedback. And with that being said, I'd like to introduce our next speaker for this evening. So she is a medical biotechnologist with a PhD in cancer research. And she'll be talking today about extending DNA analysis. So please welcome Anna Mulner.
Well, thank you for being here. And and for the kind introduction, so just a quick recap. I'm a biologist by training and did my PhD in cancer research. Now I work as a PR consultant for healthcare as my day job. And I'm also a science communicator, and this is seen as something of science communication, has nothing to do with my day job. And I wish to talk to you about DNA. You've probably heard of it. And it stores our genetic information. So it's a different kind of code than most people here are used to. It's made up of four. The DNA fingerprints don't really show how you look like. However, because they are outside of genes. However, as you may remember, we have chromosomes, and on these two of these chromosomes are the so-called sex chromosomes, and these are called X and Y. And you can identify the X chromosomes and the Y chromosomes by the gene of the enamel, of our tooth enamel. And since 2004, we can use this to identify the sex chromosomes of a person because the X chromosome gene is 6 bases shorter. But this is not always accurate. So this is how the DNA fingerprint then looks like in the for the scientists. This is an electropherogram, basically just the measurements of the bands that you just saw. And you can also see on the on the lower left the X chromosome peak, and you see there's no Y chromosome peak, so this person has 2 X chromosomes. And this is just a means of identification, so it does not show much about the person besides the sex chromosomes, where you can determine the sex of the person. And in 2016, there was a rape case in Freiburg, and actually a rape murder, where Maria L. was found raped and murdered at the Dreisam River in Baden-Württemberg. And after a long search, they found one hair that was found in a hedge, and it was 18 centimeters long, and it was dyed blonde. And on a surveillance video of a tram, they could find a person that fit this profile of this hairstyle, which led to an arrest. This was a 17-year-old Afghan refugee, and he confessed that he committed the crime. And afterwards, the police said that with extended DNA analysis, the murderer could have been found much sooner. But what is this extended DNA analysis? There is now a new law to come, so not already here yet, but proposed by Baden-Württemberg, which is now governed by the Green Party, and Bavaria, which is governed by the Conservative Party, CSU. And they wish to draw more conclusions from our DNA. So they want to look at the eye color, the hair color, the skin color, and the biological age. And the Conservative Party also wants to look at the biogeographical ancestry that can be determined from the DNA. And